Now here's what I do. I put this over here. I put this way over here. And then you just, sorry, you just, you're
good. Yeah, okay. Let's see. All right, and welcome to the newest Naughty Show. I'm Sam Tripley. Thanks for tuning in. What is this pod? Is this another Naughty Show? Is the whole crew going to be here? No, but that's okay. I've gotten your emails. I've gotten your texts saying that you missed the Naughty Show, and I can't thank you enough for those emails. So this is kind of like a little morsel to get you through till I figure out what's going to happen with the Naughty Show. So basically, this is just a little thing for you, a little thank you, a little like catch up. What's going on in my life? Where's everything going? What's going on here? What's going on there? And I just wanted to do a little thing for you. So I appreciate all the Illuminati for checking this out. Let's start the show off. I don't know what the name of this is. We're going to go with the Naughty Show for right now. This podcast, I've always wanted to do just kind of me just talking, so we'll see if that works. If I can't, then maybe I'll go and I'll find somebody wants to. I don't know. I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know. You know, Vicky is busy. She's doing this great show on Playboy Radio. She's really excited about. And Gareth, of course, is writing on Comedy Central show. He's got two other podcasts going. The Dollop is doing great. So, like, really happy for those guys. We're going to all reconnect, figure stuff out. Down the line, you know, see what happens. Maybe we'll get the crew back together again. Maybe we won't. We don't know. It's going to be a good time. But before we start, want to get into some things that help make this all possible. Real quick, want to get into our sponsor of this episode, MK Cultura. I don't know who these people are, but they send me money to give them shout-outs. And I think they're a cult, but they said I can't call them a cult, and that they're a think tank for spirituality. Take that for what it is. But I'd like you guys to go check it out because they're helping me out. Help me, help you, help us. Help together, work together. It's mkcultura.org. That's mkcultra.org. Check them out. They're sponsoring this podcast, so we love them. Check out Fleshlights. They've been sending me some Fleshlights, which is always great. Can't have enough Fleshlights. L.A. Speed Weed, as always. If you're in the L.A. area, you need weed, you're too stoned to drive, you're too baked to go, boom, hit up L.A. Speed Weed and get that going. So super duper thank you to all of our sponsors. I want to get into something that All Things Comedy is doing. We're recording from a new studio. It's in a secret location. We can't tell you what it is because then there'll just be tons of groupies hanging outside. Want to get a piece of this podcast magic? You know, we can't have that. We got security guards. They don't get paid enough to keep away the horde of podcast groupies coming dressed up, all sexy, trying to get a piece of this action that is the podcast world. I don't even know if there's podcast groupies. I've never ever heard of a chick trying to bone a guy because she listens to his podcast. Has anyone ever heard of that, ever? Oh, my God, I listen to your podcast. So good. Can I totally hook up with you? I've never heard it. I've heard of chuckle fuckers, chicks who bang funny guys, as they should. And as we've talked about on this podcast before, the Naughty Show, I hate people who make chuckle fuckers feel bad. They're good people. They get you through, and they like to have sex with guys who are funny. What's wrong with that? Let the ladies dance. At the Comedy Store, there's a bunch of chicks who probably banged half the Comedy Store, and sometimes they won't bang a certain guy, and that guy always gets angry. Arr! Why won't, you know, and they make him feel bad. It's like, no, man, it's okay. She won't hook up with you. There'll be another one coming through. Girls who sleep with everybody, I treat them like war vets coming back from Afghanistan. You know what I'm saying? I shake their hand. I thank them for their service. I buy them a drink, and I try to get them laid. That's how I am. But the exciting news here at All Things Comedy, we have a giant fundraiser going on. If you go to TubeStart.com, TubeStart.com, for the next 30-some days, is that it, 30-some? 30-some days, we are doing a fundraiser to build this awesome studio into, like, a mega studio. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, right now, it's an awesome studio. But we want to hit this thing with some gamma radiation and make it a mega studio. We want to go from a little house to, like, a third world dictator mansion with, like, unnecessary shit all over the place. We don't know what that stuff is yet, but we just want to have the opportunity to buy it. And what, how does that happen? You, the listener, if you help us out, you go to TubeStart.com, and for $5, only $5, which is, like, you can't get anything for $5 now, but you can get a sticker from All Things Comedy. And that $5 goes to help build this studio up. And maybe we can get a little cloth on this wooden table that I'm working with, getting slivers as I'm trying to talk about all the shit going on. I mean, am I in the studio or Home Depot? Where's Paco? I need help on aisle 5. It's great, though. We got water. I mean, help. We need water. Send $5 for water. This shit, it's a bottle of water. It ain't cheap. Even though I was, what's the store with all the organic foods at that everyone goes to? Do you know?
Whole Foods.
I was at Whole Foods the other day. Dollar water, like the really good ones. Like the little one for $1. But then you go across the 7-Eleven, that is like $8. But yet where rich people shop, it's only $1. I don't get that. It's like, you ever been to Beverly Hills? If you guys aren't from Beverly Hills or L.A., you go to Beverly Hills, there's free parking everywhere. But if you go to like Hollywood where poor people are, it's like $20 parking. Why do the free people get all the good shit? But you don't have to be a super rich billionaire. You can just give $5 to TubeStart.com and help us. And you know what this? You know what that allows us to do? Be independent, stay independent. Because once you start bringing in money, money brings in suits, and suits have opinions, and suits want their opinions implemented because it's their money, and then they get angry when nothing works because they had to put the 2 fucking cents in. I don't get why. You know, that's a big thing in comedy. We have a lot of, like, there's a lot of people who don't do comedy telling comedians how to do comedy. It's the weirdest shit in the world. It's like the drug czar in this country has never done drugs. How is the drug czar in charge of drugs in the country if you've never done drugs? Right? It's like, hey Sam, do you want to run the Raiders, the Oakland Raiders? Well, I've never played pro ball. Who gives a fuck? We like your style. You're going to run the Raiders. You know what would make a great drug czar? Charlie Sheen would make a phenomenal drug czar. Like, wouldn't that guy be great? He knows where all the drugs are. He's done all the drugs. And he's quit drugs. Gone back on him, but he's quit them. He's done the whole gamut that you need experience in how to stop drugs. So back to what I'm trying to say is that All Things Comedy is ran by comedians who know what comedy is. And you got to keep it that way or else you're going to get crap, which is what you see on television right now. I mean, it's just bad crap. So please go to TubeStart.com. Check it out. It's an All Things Comedy fundraiser. One more announcement I have to make. You can't see us right now because we don't have cameras. They're sitting there. They're going to be hooked up very soon to go some high def on this hot-ass podcast. You're going to be able to see an Armenian man sweat while he talks. But I am rocking a mustache for Movember, which is a big thing for guys. Where it's basically a movement, which I think is pretty cool, that is going to helps grow, raise awareness for men's health, which I would agree does not get enough attention because guys just don't care. Until it falls off, we're not going to deal with it. Whereas women are just constantly checking out, making sure all the wires and all their pieces work. Guys don't care. So we decided to grow gay porn star mustaches to let everybody know that, you know, men have to care about their what's going on in their lives and their body and their health. And you got, sometimes you got to go early to the doctor, even if it's not something wrong, because that's when they catch it. If they catch it early, they can, you know, deal with it, cure you. And sometimes they get too late and then you're fucked. So it's, I'm part of this really cool team. Mike Costa, a good friend of mine, saw him on Fox Sports 1, had a great half an hour special on Comedy Central. He hit me up. He's like, join my team. So if you go to moteam.co/mustache-laughs, you can join our team. I think I've raised $0. We're on day 5. Just please, I need to raise a couple bucks so I can shave this mustache because I get really weird looks. I get weird looks. I'm going to get into later. I started yoga and I'll get into that, how this mustache has actually helped. But I just, it's a weird look. I never look, I get sex offender jokes constantly everywhere I go. Hey, are you allowed to be around here? There's children. Aren't you supposed to be on some kind of list? Like, I have feelings, man. Like, I'm a human being. Being the guy who thinks, it hurts. I either grow this or I go full beard, and then everybody thinks I look like a terrorist, which isn't true. How do I know this? My mother tells me every day I look like a fucking terrorist. It's like, when are you going to shave the beard? You look like a terrorist. I'm like, thanks, Mom. I didn't raise you to be a terrorist. That's what she told me last time I saw her. Like, I go on the planes, people give me dirty looks. Like, this one guy gave me this look. Like, this muscle-bound dude gave me a look. He stared at me hard. And it was one of two looks. It could go either way. It could either be, hey, dude, you do anything stupid, I'm going to fuck you up. Or, hey, dude, can I suck your dick in the bathroom? It's one of those two looks. And he had that buff gay guy look, so I don't know which one it was. But either of them, it ends up badly for me. So that's what this mustache, my facial hair brings. So go again to moteam.co/mustache-laughs. That's just a normal dash, not a backslash. I don't know why they made the black side. Why they should have just said, what, the crooked one, the karate chop dash? What is that? who knows? It's time for Dates Out of Gates. Dates Out the Gates. I am going to be at the Sacramento Punchline next weekend, which would be November 13th, 14th, and 15th. I will be headlining there. Very excited to be back at the Punchline. Sacramento is one of my favorite markets. I think it's completely underrated. It's like very blue-collar, fun, good-looking people. Here's what you got to know about Sacramento. Tons of MMA fighters and porn stars come out of Sacramento. It's like a little Shangri-La of, like, debauchery. And it's fun. And I go there, and the crowds are great. I've been there with Rogan a bunch of times. And I've been there with Red Band. And I never have a bad time at the Punchline. It's the first time I'm out there headlining. The booker is a very nice lady named Molly. She's always very cool. She used to book me all the time. And I kind of got a big ego at some point. Because I got a TV show and I want to start headlining. And she always treated me really well as a feature, but I had a bad ego because I'm a grown man and we just have egos. And she's like, I want you to feature. So I'm like, no, I got a TV show. I should be headlining. She's like, I want you to feature. I'm like, nah, can't do it. I'm gonna pass. And then she got mad at me, and I don't blame her because she treated me really well. I got everything a headliner got, basically, but I was featuring. But I had a bad ego. So I didn't hear from her forever. I sent her an email. So Joe Rogan takes me up, and I'm doing the other big club up there, the huge one. And Molly's there, and I hadn't seen her for a couple years. You know, we'd partied back in the day, just, you know, had some drinks, hung out. We're really cool. Hadn't seen her for a while. She looks great. She's like this gorgeous redhead. She looks like a China doll. She's very cool. And I saw her. We started talking. We're like, hey, man. Oh, real quick before that, I'd sent her a letter telling her that I was sorry for my attitude. And what did she do? She sent me the letter back, spell checked. Right? And like, I get it. That's funny as fuck. Anybody else might be a little pissed at that, but I thought that was pretty fucking funny. Right? Like, so she goes, I go, hey, I haven't talked to you for a while. I feel awful. Last time I talked to you is when I emailed you and you sent the letter back spell checked. She's like, I am such a bitch. That is so mean. I go, no, that's funny. That was funny. I get it. I go, let's be friends. She's like, okay. So we exchanged numbers. I go, oh, great. This is how much of an idiot I am. I go, oh, great. Now I can send you dick pics. Like, I've just made amends with this chick, just made up with her, and I'm already being an idiot out the gate. And I go, hey, let me, now I can send you dick pics. I'm really excited. So what do? Like a freaking retard. I find the biggest, blackest dick pic I can find on the internet. I Googled it. And I take that picture and I text her going, hey, great to see you again. Radio silence for like months. Like, what was I thinking? Like, that would ever work out? Like, what was I thinking? I can't believe that. Like, that's got to be the dumbest move in business ever. It's just a friend, but just as a business move, to send a dick pic to someone you want to book, and not just a dick, but like the biggest dick possible, which only goes badly for a couple reasons. One, she could be racist and just doesn't want to look at black dicks. Okay. And be completely offended. Well, there's a couple ways to look at that. First, she could just be offended I sent her a dick pic. Okay. Second one, she might be racist and hate black dicks. And now I just sent her the worst dick I could possibly send her. And that's horrible. Or maybe she loves black dicks and now she thinks that's my dick. And now I have to live up to the fact that I just sent her like 13 inches of black death. And now that's what she's expecting, right? Is this rude? Am I being rude? I'm looking right at you the whole time I'm talking. And it's just like, yeah. So it's just a dumb, dumb move. And I did it. And I sent it to her. I didn't hear for her forever. And then I go, I hit her up after a couple weeks ago. Molly, are you mad at me? And she sends the picture back to me. I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like such a... So then, I, you know, it's like, and I've been doing a lot of spiritual work in my life right now. I'm like, I'm trying to go through this whole spiritual thing. You know, it's just I'm trying not to be... You know, I've always been very cynical. I've always been a cynical person. I kind of grew up cynical and sarcastic and paranoid, too. Got that from my dad. Thank you, Dad. I'm a paranoid human being. And so I'm trying to be like almost... a bizarro version of Brody Stevens, just a real positive person, because even though I think it's crazy and stupid, I do shit that I'm like, why am I doing? I pray now. Does anyone else pray? You ever pray? Yeah, exactly. I'm that guy. It's like, oh, it's, I pray. I meditate. I'm a meditator. And it's crazy that I meditate because my brain is batshit nuts. I have a monkey in my brain that just hits cymbals, and like I could easily lose you, and it could just be like, bam, bam, like a whole symphony of cymbals going. That's how batshit crazy my head is. But I've been doing like meditation, which is crazy because I like meditate, and I got this app. Everything's an app now, by the way. You need to have an app to do anything. You got an app for that? You got an app? Hey, I'm trying to cook. You got a cooking app? You can learn how to cook. I got a meditation app, and this chick just takes me through it, and it's really crazy because my brain goes nuts. It just goes, just running crazy. It's almost like, I don't know if you guys were Star Wars or Star Trek fans, but when they hit hyperdrive and just they're flying by the stars, it starts going crazy, and then someone hits the brake, and then it's just stillness. That's how meditation is to me. Boom, and I just hit this quiet stillness, and it's like really rush. It's really crazy. If you've never meditated, I would highly suggest it. And if you don't think you have the capacity or the attention span to do it, start out 10 minutes. I started at 10. I'm up to like 20, and that's for me is insane. But it really is a great feeling. So I've been doing all that. I've been trying to put out the positive energy, doing yoga. I'm going to get into that in a few. So I decided to jump on the sword and send an email to this chick. And I just basically explained how, like, I'm a nice guy that did a stupid thing. And I just broke. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I've always loved playing in clubs. And San Francisco is one of my favorite clubs, the San Francisco Punchline, but I really do love the Sacramento Punchline. I'm like, I would love to play that again. So she's like, I'm cool. It's totally cool. I don't even remember what you're talking about. Again, she says that. And I get booked out there. So I'm going to be out there soon. I'm very excited about that. So next week, if you guys are there, I'd love to see you guys come out. Big announcement, though. I am New Year's Eve playing the Underground in Toronto. You ever been to Toronto? Do you like it? It's okay. Yeah. You can get on the microphone. What's your name again? What's your name?
I'm Julia. I thought this was your show.
It is my show. Have you been to Toronto?
I've been to Toronto.
And you like it?
Yeah.
It's like next level great. Occasionally, I'm going to have you talk. You have to be okay with that. Don't be afraid. You guys can talk, too. I'm looking at you. This is such a weird conversation. I'm like a parent schooling their children. Don't talk back to me. Just listen to me. But I'm going to Toronto. Here's the thing. I'm sober. I had 5 years of sobriety. Then I went out. Yeah, it was great. And then I went on this crazy coke run of just partying and just bad decisions and just numb fucking. And just got really weird. I'm sorry about that. I feel like I'm – maybe it's good that you're here so we'll balance out what I say. You know, I think it is important to have a female in the room to balance out the caveman tendencies my brain goes to. But I went through this really dark stage. I'm sober now. So you're like, Sam, how are you going to be sober going to this weed club? And it's a weed club. It is an underground weed club. And it's really crazy because what they'll do is they'll do a comedy show right after an improv troupe. And they'll have people doing improv baked out of their minds. And it is literally like, it's the craziest place because people just ferment in weed smoke for 3 hours. By the time I hit the stage, most of those people have been sitting there for 3 hours, baked out of their minds. And I've said this before on the show that like, it's like when you hit the stage, it's like looking out the gorillas in the mist. You just see dark figures just moving in the back of this mist. And I don't care how sober you are. The minute you step on that stage, you are baked. You are baked out of your brain. And when I used to go with Joe Rogan, it was a lot of fun, but it was hard at the same time, too. It was really hard. Man, this is going forever. I didn't know I could talk this long. I love it. I love not having to pause for anybody else. It's fun. Okay, so we'll get into that. But I'm going to be in Toronto for New Year's. One of my favorite cities to perform in. I'm so blessed that in 2 months in a row, I'm playing my two favorite cities, San Francisco and Toronto. Fun cities. They're fun for the opposite reason that Vegas is fun. Like San Francisco, Toronto, smart, intellectual. You can go there. Vegas, debauchery. And it's got more debaucherous than ever. Like, it's so much fun, Vegas. I'm going to be there this weekend. I'm going to do in a spot at the LA Comedy Festival. I'm trying to get my own show out there. We'll get into that some other time. So that's what's going on. A lot of you guys are asking what's going on with the Naughty Show. I get those emails all the time. A lot of stuff's going on. A lot of stuff. Thank you for the emails and all the texts saying, and all the Twitter saying you miss it. It means a lot to me. I just feel like the show needs to do something different. It's a show that needs to be seen, not just heard. And I need to find a video capacity that will give this show its due. And, you know, Playboy Radio, phenomenal place. Vicky is at Playboy Radio right now. You should check out her stuff. She loves it over there. I love Playboy Radio. I just need to get cameras. After a while, I'm like, I don't think we're going to get cameras. What's the point of being over there if I'm doing these insane shows that nobody can see? I mean, and I'm not Howard Stern by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, it's like, people love Howard Stern. They love listening to it, but they also love going on Howard Stern TV and seeing all the crazy shit going on. And if I was just a show that is just terrestrial radio or satellite radio, which I'm working on too, I'm trying to get on satellite radio too. But if I can, if I had that, that'd be fine. But I feel like this show just needs to be seen. It needs to be a video podcast. And we're getting there. Whether it's in this studio or I've been talking to All Things Comedy about doing one-offs in a location shot as an All Things Comedy presentation and doing that. So we're working on it. I just want you to know that I'm trying to get you guys video of the Naughty Show. And I'm going to hold off to do audio until I can get the video. So it's coming. So until then, I'm going to keep putting out these half an hour. I said it's going to be a half an hour. I'm already 25 into it. I'm still doing the dates out the gates and all that stuff. What else is going on? It's such interesting shit is going on. So the show will come back. What's going on in my life? Still sober. I talked about doing yoga. I'll get past that. I'm close to doing a new album. I just put out an album through All Things Comedy. I put it out last May. It was an hour, 54 minutes. I took some stuff out. It could have been well over an hour. But I think I'm back to having another hour. And I have a couple ideas. What's that? Get really close. Try to blow the Muppet. Is that what you're saying? Can I be the saying in here? If you're not close to my... Hey, we got a saying. It's called blow the Muppet. All right? Do you mind doing that? Could you... Hey. Magical. We need to get it. You're on The Daily Show, but we need you to blow the Muppet right now, okay? Do you mind that? Hey, Pepitone, we get you. You're the bitter Buddha. We love it. It's a great line. Blow the puppet, please. Can you blow the puppet? Oh! That was the ghost of podcast pass. Did we just lose? Did that set us back? Are we gonna have to up this telethon to $10? Guys, we know you're gonna do five. Send 10. We just lost cameras. It's gone. Yeah. I love how you're covering your face. That's so cute. You don't want to see you laughing. It's so adorable. So adorable. So I'm getting close to doing a new album. I have a couple names for them. I don't want to put them out right now, but I'm really happy. So here's my plan. I want to record this hour that I have, but I don't know where I'm going to do it. I'm thinking I might be crazy and try to record an album in a club I've never played before, which sounds like suicide. But I'm doing the Laughing Skull in April, which is in Atlanta. Have you heard of it? Now, do you do stand-up? Okay. I've never been to the Laughing Skull. They booked me. I love it. It's like an 80-seat comedy club. And I'm like, I'm so excited about doing that. It's like so much fun because all these other comedy clubs, they're opening up like super domes. It's like there's Gabriel Iglesias. There's Russell Peters. There's Joe Rogan. There's Bill Burr. And then who else is filling that? I mean, there's obviously a couple more people, but who else is filling a 500-seat comedy club for like five nights in a row? Laughing Skull, 80 people. That's perfect. I mean, I've only been doing comedy for almost 20 years. That's about how many people I could draw. I don't know what that says. It depresses the shit out of me. But let me tell you something. I know if you're listening to this, I'm just preaching to the choir. But you come see a Triple E show, you're going to get rocked. You're going to get rocked. I go for it, man. I like to rock it. I like to be nuts. One or two things either happen. There's going to be a fight breakout or someone's getting pregnant. Either way, it's going to be a great show. I don't know. I'm just losing the two people in the room. God, I'm always looking for acceptance. I can't just do my show without worrying if the two people listening are enjoying themselves. I should go to therapy. I did therapy, which is great because it's like the only place in the world where you can just throw up on somebody and they just listen. Like in LA, try, do this today. If you live in Los Angeles, go find someone, try talking to them about your problems and just watch how quickly it starts about their problems. Really, within 2 seconds. You're like, oh man, I don't know, man. I just had like my sets lately. Me neither. I hate my sets. God, I can't do anything. I'm like, hold on. This is my bitch fest. That's why you got to do like 5 minutes of bitching. I get 5 minutes, then you get 5 minutes. Then I get a rebuttal to your 5 minutes. I get another 5 minutes. So I'm thinking about recording that. What else is up? Oh, so I did a show. This is an interesting story. I did a show last year at a comedy club called Aces in Temecula. And I was doing the show, and it was the last show. And I had an interesting experience at this comedy club. I want to keep it super positive. It was a very interesting time. I'm supposed to go back in March. But I'm doing the show, and the woman in the front row is shaved head bald. And you start talking to her. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to do crowd work with the crowd and let them know that I'm either going to fight or hump him. This is the show. This is how the show goes. A woman in front of me, I started talking to her. I started talking about how I want to crush it after the show. She's like, great. She literally goes, great, because I have terminal cancer. I'm going to die soon, and I could use getting laid. She starts saying that to me. I'm like, oh, my God, that's crazy. Of course, I'm dead on the inside, so I don't miss a beat. I just start telling her, I'm going to hump it out of you. I'm going to make you feel better. I'm going to fuck the cancer out of you. I literally said that to her. And I have her come up, and I grab her face. I do this thing where I slow grind this woman's face. And people fight me on doing it, but when they eventually do come up and do it, they have a great time. And I slow grind this girl's face, and the place goes, half the room goes nuts. Half the room stares with daggers of hatred. Which is, I've experienced that before. Like, I was at the Comedy Store one time, and we were doing a show, and I walk in, and this blind guy is heckling everybody. He's ruining the show by heckling. So he'd start heckling guys, the comics want to lay into him, then the crowd would be like, he's blind! And they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry. And then just let the kid have his way, let the guy have his way. The crowd, I go, this guy heckles me, I'm going to fucking murder this dude. So I go up, and I'm like, dude, he's like, you're not funny. And I just, like, fucking zone in on this dude and proceed for 10 minutes to destroy him. And then his wife jumped in. I go blind too if I have to look at your old wrinkly pussy every day. And the place, and literally, like, half the place is like, yeah! The other place is like, you can't do that. But he's having the best time. Because you know why? Because he's finally getting treated like everybody else. And nobody's holding him with kids' gloves. They're busting his balls. Same thing with the cancer lady. So I'm slow grinding her face. People are like, this is something. I don't know what it is. I don't know if this should be fun or weird, but I'm enjoying it. So the show ends. I go in the back, you know, and I've lost a lot of family to cancer. So I do a big cancer event every year at the Comedy Store. I raise money for the Armenian Bone Marrow Registry, which is this, I'm half Armenian, and I identify more Armenian than Italian, because in Los Angeles, if you want to play Italian, you got to be like, oh, a shit lasagna! You know, it's like you got to be like the worst Italian stereotype to work as an Italian in L.A. So I'm like, that's not me, you know? I literally grew up thinking I was white. I thought I was a white guy when I grew up. And then I moved to L.A. and I realized I am not white. Because the Armenians where I'm from are very, very, very are very white. Like, if you saw my relatives, you'd be like, those are white people. They're like, no, they're Armenians, because they're more of the Eastern European Armenian than the Persian Armenian, which is very prominent in Los Angeles, which explains why all the taxi drivers are angry fucks, because that's the Persian angry side. Like, so I'm going to tell the story, and I'm sure I'm going to lose the two people in the room. But I realized I wasn't white when I was doing stand-up at the Hustler Cafe. And do you guys know who Paul Mooney is? Paul Mooney is the king, you know, big, big part of comedy in the United States. Like, Richard Pryor's Live from the Sunset Strip, he leaves the stage. Paul Mooney's name slowly scrolls up, you know, up on the screen, and it goes, and another name doesn't come up until his name is gone. That's how big he was. And I get off stage. This is a true story, and I hope I don't offend anybody with my true story. But I was doing a joke about how hard it is to be a white guy in America. And he grabs me, and he goes, oh, homie, you ain't white. He said, you ain't white. You's Armenian. You's a nigger. And I was like, it was the first time I've ever been called the N-word, and it was pretty fucking awesome. Because that's like being called the N-word by the king of the N-word. You know, the guy who basically owns it. He could say he copyrighted the N-word. Like, he trademarked the N-word. And I was being called by, and it was like the coolest feeling in the world. So, you know, that's what I just, my mother's side's Armenian. I just always, I love both sides, but I've always identified more with Armenian. So I do a big Armenian benefit every year because my cousin, who's Armenian, got bone marrow cancer, and it's hard to find a genetic makeup, a match for Armenians, because, this is very interesting, Armenia is surrounded by nothing but Muslim countries, and Armenia is Christian. They didn't want to mix with the Muslims. So literally, Armenians are like the hillbillies of the Middle East. We are like the rednecks in that we inbred so much. Our genetic makeup is like very unique. You could say unique. I'd say fucked, but we're unique. And that's hard to find matches. So that's why. So these, my cousin, her daughter got bone marrow cancer. So her and this other guy named, this other woman named Dr. Frieda Jordan started the Armenian Bone Marrow Registry. And I've been doing fundraisers for them for fucking years, man. And this is the 12th year. And so cancer's a big, I've lost a couple family members to cancer. So this lady comes up, I'm like, I'm talking to her and I'm like, hey man, I'm really sorry. She's like, I'm doing a big benefit for, you know, to say goodbye. She's literally doing a death roast. She was throwing a death roast where everyone's going to rust her. I'm like, that's going to go horrible. But I support it. But I couldn't make it to it. So anyways, my friend sends me a link. She was lying. She wasn't dying. She did all this crazy stuff to just get attention. How crazy is that? She just did this to get attention. And turns out, like, why she's telling everybody she couldn't move. Her back was out. She's going to die. She's out at clubs partying, doing shots. It's crazy, dude. It's like this whole attention. It's just such, I was just not raised that way. That would even enter your mind. It's so effing crazy, dude. It's crazy. It really made me sad because a lot of people rallied behind that chick. So what do? She's going to go to jail now for lying. And that's not the first story I've heard. Like, there's a lot of people who do that just to make money. It's like really upset. I guess, is that any different than the person who panhandles on Hollywood Boulevard? Oh, I'm homeless. And you ever see the news stories do stories on those guys? And they'll follow them with a camera. And they're not homeless. They live in, like, a nice condo, drive fat cars. The famous story is the woman on the Atlantic City Boardwalk. She'd sit there, like she had no legs. She put, like, three kids through college and drove a Porsche. It's crazy. I guess I'm just not that kind of guy. I don't think I'd ever want to do just, like, be a scumbag to make money. I mean, I'm a scumbag, but I'm a positive scumbag. I'm a scumbag with a heart of gold. I'm into weird shit. I like to do weird shit. But I wouldn't fuck anybody over. That's just how I am. So what else is going on? I want to wrap up. I can't believe this is almost 40 minutes. That's crazy. I love doing this. I'm already enjoying this. Let's see if I can get more than 10 people to listen to this. We'll see. I'm going to get my stride, though. Once I figure out how to format this of just talking to myself while you guys just give me nods of approval so I don't start crying. I got asked to host. I got asked last night to guest judge the comedy roast battles. Have you guys heard of this show? Have you heard of it? It's really fucking huge. And it's like, it just packs this belly room. The belly room isn't huge, but I've never seen it that packed before. And I got asked to host it. Judge with Deon Cole, Riel Battle, and Craig Gass was the other. It was the four of us judging this thing. And it was a lot of fun, man. It's like, it's such an insane show to go. It needs to be in a bigger room. I just worry if you go too big of a room, is it going to lose a little bit of its heat? But it's such a fun show. My buddy Moses is the host, and he's a great host. And they have all these different, just all these wild, crazy things happen in the middle of the show. But the one thing I'll tell you about the roast battle is it is a comedy. It's a comedian. It's a comedian's comedy show. It's for the masses, but it's for comedians. Done for comedians by comedians. And which means you can't bring your kitty gloves. You got to bring your big boy pants. Bring your big boy pants. Because some politically incorrect shit is going to be said. People are getting lit the fuck up. This one white boy just destroyed this black comic, my buddy Sydney. Lit him the fuck up. And it's just hard to watch. when somebody's getting beat up, but that's it. But the reason I bring this up is, like, this is a place where everybody gets shit. Everybody. Dan Cole was getting murdered by everybody because his show got canceled on TBS. And he's not even roasting. He's just hanging out. Getting murdered by everybody. I was getting murdered for my coke problem. It's so funny about me. I do roast. It's like, I don't get tagged as much as I like, and I used to get my feelings hurt. Like, oh, why is anyone making fun of me? Then I realized, like, can you make fun of the guy who just fucking does blow and hangs out with porn stars and strippers for a portion of his life? It's like, there's not a lot to light up, but that's not me now. I'm a different person. I got Christ in my life. I'm not that guy. I like to spoon and talk and watch reruns of Sex and the City. But the reason I'm bringing this up is, not only did I have a fun time doing it, and if you're in LA, you should go see the show. It's every Tuesday night at the Comedy Store. But apparently somebody, and I'm going to assume it's a chick, wrote a blog on this website. Where is this? ComedyHype.com, in which she states, and the title is, Comedy Store Letting White Comics Say the N-Word. And she's upset about that. There is so much wrong with this. With this title. First of all, my biggest problem with this is that she doesn't even put their name, and I'm assuming it's a she, I could be wrong, but this blogger doesn't even put their name on it. Who blogs and not puts their name on a blog? Like, what is that? That's unheard of. If you're gonna, there's a saying in sports, put your name on it. If you're gonna talk some shit in the locker room, put your name on it. And it's like, put your name on it. If you really have a problem with it enough that you're going to blog because you don't like something happening in somebody else's show that you have free will to go to, put your name on it. Don't just randomly put out something and then scurry into the shadows. I own my shit. I'll put it out there. I'll own my shit. But don't just fucking anonymous sources. And you're not even important. You're a blogger. It's not like you're making comments about Obama and you work for him. You're a comedy blogger blogging about comedy. And you're going to sit there and not put your name on it? Why? Because you know you're going to get shit. Why? Because what you're saying is bullshit. There's so much wrong with this. First of all, you have a problem with white people saying the N-word, which is my problem with political correctness altogether. It should be a rule. It should be a rule for everybody. Now I get to, oh, Sam, we got history. There's history of this. 100%. 100%. But that is history. But what it is it's lazy thinking. You want a rule that comes with fine print, which is don't say the N-word unless you're a black comic, a Latino comic, a white chick who bangs black guys. You know, just like there's so much fucking fine print with it. Why not just have a hard rule? Why don't you say nobody should say the N-word? If it offends you that much, if you're offended by what that word represents to you, why are you okay with black people saying it? Because you're a coward. That's what it is. Because you know if you call up black people calling it, you're probably going to be called racist yourself. You're going to get it, and you just don't want that kind of heat because it's safer to tee off on the status quo, which is white people are the racist, and we're going to tee off on them. And another big problem I have with this is, like, it's not your show. So we should adapt to you. The person who won't even put their name on a blog should be the person who dictates. Who dictates that? Who dictates the rule? Who's the one that's allowed to come up with a solid rule of who should say what and who shouldn't? That's not your show. You didn't help grow that show. You're not the one packing that room. The people who run that show are three guys, two of them are black. Riel, Battle, and Moses, and Jeffrey Ross. If they run the show and it's successful and they're fine with it, who are you to tell them they can't do it? If you don't like it, don't go to the show. But you don't want that because you want to make sure no one else can do whatever they want to do. That's really the truth. And it's just political correctness gone too crazy. You should have no... But put your name on the blog. That's my biggest thing. Own up to your shit. Like, I'm going to own up to this right now. You know, this political correctness has gone too fucking crazy. And obviously, people have been talking about the CNN video. Have you seen it? The catcalling video? Have you seen that? Can I get your opinion on it? As a lady? And I'm assuming you're a lady? Or a well-hung tranny? Go on.
Can it be both?
Yeah, it could be both.
That happened to me the first time I left here. I got catcalled by three different people in like a 15-minute span.
And it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's a horrible thing. And I agree with you. To verbally abuse a woman is fucking horrible. And I'm not here to say that catcalling is an issue. It is an issue. And I don't know if you saw the Daily Show. They did interviewed a bunch of girls. And one girl's like, this guy's like, I want to shit on your chest. Like, what is that? That's not catcalling. And that's not even flirting. That's just verbally abusing somebody. But this segment that CNN ran is so awful. Because they have this girl walk for 10 hours, they say. And then they show you what they said. And some of them are like, God bless. Have a great day. You're beautiful. And I'm like, that's catcalling now? That's really catcalling? Is this what we're talking about? They're like, well, we had some other ones. We didn't want to show it. Why? Why didn't you want to show it? Because that's not catcalling. To me, that's not catcalling. If you were walking down the street and three guys are like, hey, have a great day. Are you going to be like, oh, humanity? No, man. It's just like you can't regulate primal nature. You just can't regulate it. It's like again with this, like, it's anti-bullying shit where they want to make laws passing anti-bullying when these bullies are probably got fucking their own emotional issues. It's like it's a part of life. And I understand I'm not a girl. I'm not walking down the street. I have been in gay clubs and I've been to a yoga with this mustache on. So I know what it's like to get ogled, okay? And it's not nice. But it's just, I hate to say this, there is a part of life that is going to be really hard to change and be like, let's be idealistic, and that is guys hitting on girls. It's just, you want to regulate that? Are we going to have to get permitted hitting on? Like, I have to get a certain permit to hit on you? You know, like, this is a permit zone. Like, how do we regulate this? Like, we're running this ad in which you're telling me, God bless and have a great day. It's catcall. My problem with the video is, like, you're setting a standard that is so overly sensitive that people who don't use common sense are going to fucking start freaking out on little shit on everybody. Like, if you're walking down the street and somebody follows you, that's no longer an issue of catcalling. That is stalking. And that's a whole different issue. And I agree that you have the right to walk without some fucking idiot jumping all over you. But someone going, God bless, that's just, I mean, I hate to say it, it's a part of life. And it's why girls get in the bars for free. That's why there's ladies' nights. That's why you buy drinks. That's just the primal part of guys want to hit on girls. And, you know, so I just did Josh Wolf and Sarah Colonna's podcast, Off the Rails. It's really funny. We kind of talk about this. She brought up the fact that they got some guy to counter in another segment, which is something I want to talk about. In another segment, they got a guy to counter. And the guy's like, if these guys were all cute, would this be an issue? And I got to be honest with you, there's something to that. If this chick is walking down the street, and I would love for you to jump in on this, and Abercrombie and Fitch models are just going, hey, baby, how are you? Have a great day. Is this a segment on CNN? Or is this girl calling her a friend going, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's fucking working. Hot guys in gay shape are hitting on me.
It's a tricky subject, but I would just quickly say that no one likes to be harassed.
I agree with that.
I think it's just when it's a harassment thing.
Right.
When someone's saying something offensive.
I completely agree with that. But I'm just trying to say that what CNN is doing is setting a precedence that unoffensive harassment shit can be considered harassment shit by stupid people. And it's not really a conversation. It's not really a conversation of the dynamics between men and women. It's really just chicks playing to chicks' fears. And that's why after the segment, they did a panel, and it's all women discussing the roles of men between the roles of men and women. And it's just like, you don't have a voice of reason for guys. And that's how you let it know. But it's dangerous shit to get into. It's just dangerous shit to get into. I mean, girls, I mean, listen, as a guy who's a, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, I consider myself a fucking hard 5, okay? A hard 5. I know I have to hit on everything and hope I get one little nibble. That's just how it goes. My batting average is .056. I would be down in the minor leagues. I have to hit on as much stuff. But I also know when a girl says no, and let me tell you, they tell me no. Women, I get fucking murdered. These chicks are like, I must not have a soul the way you can fucking turn me down. But I get the message and I move on. There's nothing less attractive that, to me than hitting on a chick that doesn't want you to hit on her. It just means nothing. It means nothing to me. Now there's, you know, don't get me wrong. There's a couple girls that I play fun with where I'm like, hey, I hit on you, and you tell me to go kill myself. That's a little game I play with Rose the bartender at the Comedy Store. Hey, baby, go fuck yourself. That's our little game. I like to think it's game. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm what she's talking about. Stop hitting on her. But I just found it found that segment just weird. I mean, like, I don't know, man. Maybe I have a misconception of women, because everything I see on television is everything about women is romantic comedies. He's just not into you. Everything's about dating and all that stuff. And guys hitting on girls is a part of dating. And, you know, and the best time to hit on a chick is when she's not expecting it. Now, I don't say go overboard with it. Obviously not. But, like, at a nightclub, girls come to the nightclub with their guard up, covered up. And it's like, it's not the easiest time to hit on them. But, you know, if you're hanging out at a bus stop and you're just hanging out and you find something and you say, hey, how's it going? You throw it. It's easier to make a move. So we can't do that anymore? I mean, like, what? You're right. It is about when it gets across the line to creepy. But how do you regulate that? And that's the whole question. And who determines that line? I think it's just like, don't be rude to women. I mean, I think that's the whole thing. You can hit on them, and if they say no, move the fuck on. Move the fuck on. It's just a weird thing. I just think eventually just we're going to live in societies where women are over here, guys are over here. Women are just going to milk men, and then once we get them pregnant, they're going to kill us and eat us off, and we're just going to be dead. Women are going to farm men. That's what's going to happen. We're going to live on farms. We're going to get milked, and then we're going to get fucking eaten for hamburgers. That's where it's going. There's going to be no interaction, and it's just we're going to get milked. There we go. That's my predictions for the future. God. Okay, and then we're about to wrap up. I'm going to get into this. Election day, did you guys vote? Everybody vote? Did you vote? Okay. I voted. I really don't believe in the two-party system. I really don't like voting for either party. I vote Democrat when I have to, because that's the lesser two evils on certain fronts. But the notion that in 2008, people are so tired of Bush and the Republicans that they all ran to Obama and the Democrats. And now in 2014, they're so tired of Obama acting like a Republican that they ran back to the Republicans is just ridiculous to me. It's like your significant other cheats on you with your best friend. So what do? You drop them, you start dating this other person, and they bang your brother or sister. So you're so angry at that, you run back and start dating the person who cheated on you with your boyfriend or girlfriend. Cheated with you with your best friend. Does that make any sense? That's all we do. We just run, over here, fire, run over here. Hey, the fire's there, run over here. So we run over here. We just run back and forth. I voted for a woman for president last time, Jen Stein, Green Party. I will never vote for D or an R ever again in my life. Ever again in my life will I ever vote for either of them. Because I hate to say it, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it's about winning the election. I think like, who do you think would do the best job? And you know, it's not like if you win, you get a free breakfast at Denny's. And you know, you're like, well, if you vote this way, the other party will win, it will get really bad. Yeah, maybe it needs to. Maybe it needs to get so fucking bad that people get tired. Like, there's huge riots right now. Well, protests going on in England. about just the economy. Do you see any of that on television? Nope. You're too busy worrying about fat chicks and spandex getting catcalls. She's not even fat. She's actually hot. I like them thick. So I didn't, that was very rude of me to call that girl thick. I wouldn't call her fat. I would never call her that. I like them thick. I do, because that's the chicks I grew up with in upstate New York, fat country girls. I love a fat ass, man. You can't get fat enough, that's what I say. Come on, Sam, blow the Muppet. But a big, big thing happened yesterday in California. Basically, Californians voted that drug offenses and crimes of less than $950 in value are no longer felonies. They're misdemeanors. That's humongous. That's huge. And it's not just like for weed either. It's for heroin, meth, and cocaine. If you carry any of those, or as I like to call them, the Craig Robinson special, by the way. Does anyone, do you guys remember when he got married? When he got arrested and they opened his car. He literally had everything in that car. He was like a food truck of drugs. And I'm like, man, that guy parties. And I was partying at the time. I'm like, hey, man, where do you want me to meet you? You're going to have to dump that shit. But he literally had everything. And they made that all misdemeanors now, which means you're not going right to jail, which means, like, I guess they said like 40,000 people could be released from jail very soon because it's no longer a felony. Like, that's huge. That's huge. Just because you do drugs doesn't mean you should go to jail, man. I mean, it is really a guy who struggled with it forever. The notion that I'm a criminal. Now, if you are a drug addict and you steal something, that's a whole different thing. But it's like, I can't tell you. People who think drug addicts have a say, they're so fucking wrong. I fought that shit forever. I was sober for 5 years. And then I was doing a stunt show, and I was getting so hurt, I had to do Vicodins. The guy, one of my co-hosts, was like, we called them white rabbits. So I was like downing these white rabbits. And then just from there, next thing I know, I was in cocaine. And it's just like, it's gone, dude. And like, that's some strong, and like, I joke about cocaine because I really think coke is the next thing to get legalized. I mean, like, just because is it any more damaging than alcohol? I just don't think you should go to jail because you do something like that. You should go into treatment, you know? But I've been driving to go, and I was crying because I just didn't want to go buy drugs, and I just couldn't stop. I've talked about how, like, in my drug abuse, I got robbed by a hooker twice in one day, the same hooker. And it's not a sexual thing. I'm not getting her for sex. I just know, I just relapsed on drugs. I got rid of all the drug dealers in my phone. I need to grab drugs. Who's got drugs? Hookers. And here's what I've learned, in case you guys are ever in this moment. If the hooker grabs her purse, she's not coming back. So if you're ever in that place, and I hope you never get there, call me. I'll talk you out there, okay? If you're going to buy drugs from a hooker, make sure she leaves her purse, because that's the only sign she's coming back. Then that's the truth. So can I get some grades on this? What do you? I need you to be brutally honest, because that's the only way I can get better at this. How was this? Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, brutally honest.
I mean, it's good. It's all just Sam Tripoli.
Okay. Did it make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just gonna try to do this more. I like doing it. I just don't know how many people I'll get to listen to me rant and rave, but I'm going to start talking more stories on here because I think I have great stories. So that's my story. All right. So once again, if you guys are bored, if you guys not bored, if you guys can, check out our sponsor, mkcultura.org. They're not a cult from what they tell me. They're simply a think tank. And then we want to go to tubestart.com. For only $5. Now, I know how PBS feels. Just give us a couple bucks. We'll keep this thing going. Because we're the only thing indie out there. You know what? Suits coming in and telling everybody what the fuck to do. So, guys, help us out. I mean, some of these people, some of these podcasts, they get fucking, their fans, they make like a gazillion dollars. It's like, we're like, how many podcasts are on this channel now?
50.
And they're all badass podcasts. Like, everybody on here is good people. Like, yeah, I don't know of any dicks on this podcast, on this podcast channel. I just don't. It's a great podcast, and they're trying to be like, they're just trying to do it the way it should be done, and it is. So this is Sam Tripoli and The Naughty Show, and I hope that you had a great time, and know we're going to do it again next year. If you have any comments, liked it, didn't like it, want to try something else, we'll do it, all right? So I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening to The Naughty Show.
Why you blot them marching forth and choosing what to keep in